You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Monday, All Marine Radio, back at it, and I have a programming note. The interview with Secretary Mattis has to play tomorrow. Yeah, there's some infrastructure things that have to happen in terms of not crashing the server. So I called up some people, and they're like, could you just delay it for 24 hours so we can make sure? I'm like, okay, sure, I can do that. Anyway, it's an awesome interview. Recorded it on Friday, and just to hear his thoughts about discipline. And as they evolved throughout his career, and, you know, what changed and then what didn't change. Pretty interesting stuff. Pretty interesting stuff. So that's a programming note. What you will hear today, all right, now let me, one of the cool things now about post-traumatic winning when I go do it, I think I said this last week, but it's not a theoretical event. Because of the data that the 2nd Marine Division has put up, right, it's not a theoretical event. If you do these things will happen. And that is, like, most cool. Because when I first did it, you know, it was, hey, look, this is the truth, right? This is the truth, and these are the things you need to do, okay? Now, there's data that goes with that. Exactly. How cool is that? I'll tell you how cool that is. It's way cool. Yeah, it's absolutely way cool. So you can look at a group and say, hey, man, there's no reason why you cannot have the exact same results. There's no reason. So anyway, good Monday morning to everybody out there. Hope you had a good weekend. So yeah. So anyway, programming note there. In my head though is something that I don't know how it got in there last week, but it stuck. Probably as I was doing post-traumatic winning. And that is this. Most or many units, I won't say most, many units have lost more people to suicide than combat. How can that be? How can you lose more people after you come home than you lost fighting? I mean, what is that? Are we that soft? What would you call that? How do you... You know, we have people killed in combat, and then the people that come home, then they take their own lives. So the second hour, what I did today was I invited four guys. I'm going to call the segment the four. Okay? So there's going to be four people. And And it's going to be Bob Nelson, Vietnam guy, who's watched this for a long time. Tim Lynch, right? He's been to Iraq, he's been to Afghanistan, and he's a writer and paid attention to this stuff. And then Alex Hollings, and they're each going to join me for about 15, 20 minutes. I didn't tell them what question I was going to ask them. So they might be listening and figuring it out now, but that's all right. And then Ken Rogers, another Vietnam guy. Ken, as everybody knows, documentary filmmaker, and late in his life, but for most of it, he's somebody who was struggling with it, like a lot of people, like me. And so, so we're going to ask them individually, why do they think that is? And I'd be curious to hear from you. Why do you think it is, that we've lost more people in many units to suicide than we have than we lost in combat? Which seems to me the craziest, right? The craziest of propositions. That we're tough enough to go do that, but we're not tough enough to live, in the aftermath of that. So the question is, why? Why? So we'll do that in the second hour today, and then General Mattis tomorrow in the second hour. Some interesting stuff. Late last week, General Berger put out his guidance. In a huge change for the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps has stuck to this 38 ship amphibious blah 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 lift capability that the Navy has no interest in. But the Marine Corps has stuck by it. Now, a lot of people thought, if you don't have enough lift and you can't do, so General Berger said, yeah, we're out of that business. It's Navy's clearly not interested in it. We're going to have to find other ways to get there, but we're still about advanced naval forces, and we're still about amphibious capability, but we've got to find other ways. So that is no small event. So we'll talk about that a little bit this morning. And then let me just tell you the funniest thing I saw over the weekend. It has to do with Bernie Sanders. Now, these people that espouse these, these living wage, not paying his campaign staff a living wage. What? Yeah. Oh, you want me to live by that which I say? Well, let's not be unreasonable now. So he's now paying his campaign people $15 an hour, right? Nice going, Bernie. They now make as much as my 15-year-old daughter. But he cut their hours. So, Bernie, that if we do pay them that, we can't work them like we used to work them. Wait. Say that again? Yeah, we paid them lower wages, and we worked them more, and they weren't allowed to claim overtime. That was kind of the gig, I think. Maybe not. That was kind of the gig, though. And that's how we got them to work all these hours. So if you pay them $15 an hour, we have to cap everybody. We can't work them overtime. You can imagine. God damn it! Yeah, affording your own words, it's a little bit problematic for us. I think that is the funniest shit I heard all weekend. It makes me laugh. It makes me laugh. Somebody sent me an email over the weekend that said, hey, the story about the laundry guy in Ramadi is very funny. Is that true? Every bit of that story is true. Yeah. So, if you missed it, I put my brain tells me to kill somebody. My brain never said that to me. You should kill this guy. In my life, it never said that to me. So I took my laundry in. I was putting it in a bag early in the morning, and it was a three-part you know, form where you write on one and there's multiple forms underneath it. I think there was four total. It was white, yellow, green, and red, or something like that. Might be three, white, yellow, and green. Anyway, you were supposed to keep, like, the yellow and put the white and the green in the bag. And so I put either the white, I put the wrong white or green form in there. Which one? I can't remember. So, and I drop my laundry off. You get your laundry dropped off once a week. And I do that. And then I went to pick it up. And the little Filipino, the civilians working there, right? Making a lot of money working over in a combat zone. So anyway, and Ramadi was. The girl takes my ticket, pulls my laundry bag, and then goes and gets a manager. Now, the fat guy comes out smoking a cigarette with a mustache looking at me. And then, I thought I had left something in there that I wasn't supposed to leave in there. So I thought there was going to be a problem. Like my Catholic upbringing, right? Always I'm guilty first. So, he comes up and he says, yeah, Major, we didn't do your laundry. I said, yeah, I can see that. Is something in there? What happened? And he said, yeah, you know, you put the white and the yellow. You're supposed to put the white, the green in here. And that's when my brain, and again, it shocked me, because, I mean, I was, you know, middle class, upper middle class, you know, Irish white kid. And he hands me the bag, he didn't do my laundry, and when he gave me that reason, that's when my brain said, you should shoot this motherfucker. And it, you know, very clearly, articulated very clearly. There was no, like, maybe you might want to. No, wouldn't like that. So I took my laundry bag and I went and I told my friends about it. And then they said that I should have shot him because the guy was an asshole, which is pretty funny. But no, that's all true. But I don't know if that's not funny. Bernie Rogers story, come on. Bernie Rogers? Bernie Sanders, Ken Rogers is coming on later. It's hilarious. Go all around the country talking about we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and then you've got to pay it and you can't pay it. Oh, well, we can't pay it, but we got to cut everybody's hours. You cannot make stuff like that up. You cannot make stuff like that up. I got a couple other questions about the president and race baiting and whatnot. Look, Donald Trump, I don't go back from where you came from. I didn't like it when people, you know, those bumper stickers in the 60s, America, love it or leave it. I don't care for that. I mean, we're a big country. But let me tell you where we fail. The whole concept of articulate dissent, okay? The whole concept of articulate dissent is no longer an American concept. It is scream it loud, make it up if you have to. You know, and, you know, depending on what side you're on, you know, let it rip. So the only thing I have to say about that is hold his opponents to the same standard that you hold him to. But they don't. They don't. There was no hue and outcry about the whole concentration camp remark, you know, that the girl from New York made. Right? There's no hue and cry about, you know, 9/11 deniers and the Jews are responsible for it and all that shit that, you know, what the girl from Minnesota says. So to me, what bothers me, and I'll go back to the Charlottesville thing. What the president said that he got annihilated for was this. What the president said was, you know, that there were good people on both sides there, and there were bad people there on both sides there. And you want to know what? That's what was there. There are people like me who believe you shouldn't bleach your own history. They believe intellectually that's wrong. They believe that you should build your history out and tell the whole story. There's other people who there who went there peacefully to protest, who believe that that stuff should be taken down. Okay, that's America. There was also two groups. Right? Antifa on one side, and whatever those pinhead, you know, be they right supremacists or alt-right people, those two groups went there to fight too. So what the president said was factually correct. But he got annihilated because what he was supposed to say is come out and condemn racism. But when he says something that's factually correct, that was true. And I remember when I watched all that, I didn't understand because it looked like the group with helmets and shields was fighting themselves. And I was like, well, if those are the alt-right guys, did they get into a disagreement? Because on video, they're fighting each other. And then, as I'm listening, it's like, oh no, those other people, that's a group called Antifa. Well, who are they? Oh, well, they went there, and this thing had been orchestrated for weeks. Some of those people have come from all over the country to be involved in that fight. Oh, but that's not the way it was covered by the media. So to me, if you're gonna take the president to task, and you should, for things he says that are clearly inappropriate, and I don't like that, then you should take them. But the problem with the American media is they cherry pick what they choose to report, quote unquote, report as the truth, because most of them aren't court reporters. I was going to say correspondents. Most of them are correspondents, right? They don't report. They report and they render opinion. So they're hybrid journalists because that's cheaper. Okay? That's cheaper, and that's what people want to hear. They just don't want to hear a report. They want to hear somebody give somebody an opinion on it. So to whoever wrote me, I don't like what the president said. And I sure as hell don't like that, you know, those chants, you know, send her back. Because I'm a conservative, right? I'm a conservative. Now, if you're a conservative, you don't have another choice other than Donald Trump. And I don't like that send her back shit, right? We're supposed to be a big country. And honestly, to me, it does sound racist. And I don't give a shit who would say it or who would do it. I would say the same thing. So, yeah. But my problem with all of this is that it's applied selectively. It's applied selectively. And there's one standard for him. And in my opinion, they can say whatever the hell they want to say. Whatever the hell they want to say. And nobody says shit about it. And yet he says the same things, or he goes down that road. And, I mean, honestly, the concentration camp thing, right? And nobody said shit about that, except Holocaust survivors said shit about it. And they walked the dog on it. Is she stupid or just ignorant? Or a combination of the two? Does she see that there's no parallels? We were rounded up and detained in our own country. We weren't going anywhere. We weren't seeking asylum. We weren't trying to enter a foreign country. We weren't doing anything. We were rounded up. We were then incarcerated and exterminated. Does she not understand what that was? Is she ignorant of all of that? And that's a good question. Maybe she is. Maybe she just doesn't know. But, you know, does the mainstream media in this country, largely controlled by liberals, do they take her to task? Answer, no. They love her. So, anyway, it's the political theater of our nation. It's disgusting. It continues, right? Mueller's going to go back on TV, and all of that will be so that we can get to the truth? No, of course not. So we can grandstand and try to continue to destroy Donald Trump's presidency. Okay? And so if you're a Democrat, that's what you do. So, anyway. So, good Monday morning to you. Here's an email. Magnarama. That was my name at OCS. Hey Mac, I laughed hard at your chow hall story, just you and the staff sergeant. Awkward to say the least for me as much, but hilarious. Yeah, I didn't think it was funny. he wanted he was he dogged my shit. You're going to DOR. He'd already, like, run out, like, 40-something dudes out of a 60-dude platoon. And he was just fucking with me, right? So, but, yeah, he had been giving me shit the week before. Because I brought back contraband from Thanksgiving. That's what happened. And what happened was, on Thanksgiving Day at OCS, families in the area, you know, signed up to take, like, a couple candidates. So me and three other candidates, we went to somebody's house. They didn't serve us a beer or shit. It was awful. It wasn't awful. They were really nice, but they had little kids. And so, we went to somebody's house on that Thanksgiving, so it was very nice. On the way back, we stop at a 7-Eleven. I get a bag of M&M's. So we get back when we're supposed to get back, change into our PT gear, have a formation for accountability. I called my fiance, now my ex-wife, Susan. And my way to call her, I threw the M&M's in my wall locker, thinking I would come back later that night, eat them, and throw the bag away. I forgot they were in there. So the next morning, I had Achilles tendonitis in my Achilles tendon. So, which is why it's Achilles tendonitis. Anyway, I should have said it's tendonitis in my Achilles tendon. So, So you have to get up. I had to get up earlier, get ready, and then I had to go to sick call to get Motrin, which was as much medical attention as they gave, right, then. So, but I had to go do that. So I get up, guys are asleep. I'm trying to be quiet. And I do my stuff. And I had this system where I would yank on my wall locker and I would kick the lock of my foot locker to make sure they were both locked. Well, as things would have it, on that day with contraband in my wall locker, when I yanked my wall locker, it was, I failed. And they, after I walked away, I don't know if it fell open or what, but it did. So while we were out doing, platoon in the defensive sketches, the first sergeant walks to the squad bay and he sees my lock is ajar. And then he goes through my wall locker, right? And he finds the M&Ms. Oh my God. And so this is on a Friday. We stand inspection on Saturday. So Staff Sergeant Timberlake uses this as, come on, I would have done the same thing, as a pretense to have everybody dump. Now everybody's iron t-shirts, right? That's what you do during the week. So you're getting ready for your Saturday inspection. It was a wall locker and foot locker inspection. He says, throw everything on your rack. So everything's got to come out of your wall locker. Everything comes out of your foot locker. And he dumps it everywhere and fucks up everybody's shit. I thought, man, my friends are going to kick my ass. And, that's the M&M. So that happened the week before. And it was that Sunday because we were entering the eighth week. And at the eighth week, you could drop. So I walked. That's when I walk in the chow hall. On Sunday morning, everybody else sleeping or at church, I walk in there, and it's just him. He's in the jaw line. Good morning, platoon sergeant. Fuck you, McNarama. Come on, man. That, which doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Yeah, and the story goes, if you didn't hear it, I shoved, whatever I got on that tray, I shoved the scrambled eggs, sausage, and a pancake down my throat in at least 15 seconds. Drank the juice in about another 5, wiped my mouth, stood up, and got the fuck out of there. And he shit-talked me on my way out. Leaving kind of quick, aren't you, Mac? McNarama? Make sure that DOR is on my desk first thing tomorrow morning. No potential. Yeah, that shit wasn't funny. Charlottesville. There was a third group there, a militia group from upstate New York. It took upon themselves to make the trip to serve as peacekeepers. When I saw the video of dudes in camis carrying ARs and AKs getting between the Antifa crazies and the "you will not replace us" idiots, I did some research. Amazing that there wasn't too much gunplay. No wonder the cops stayed on the sideline. Yeah, how about that part of the story? According to what I read, the militia lost about half its membership because a large percentage thought they had no business traveling from New York to Virginia to thrust themselves into that situation. I would have to agree with that. Well, once you leave the state, I mean, the militia is a state-based organization, right? That in theory operates within the state. I mean, then aren't you part of a federal event? Which runs contrary to the whole concept of the militia? Yes. Maybe. Yeah. But again, my problem with that is, again, the way this shit gets reported in the country, right? And that is, there's always an agenda that goes with the reporting, which I think is bad for the country. Because I think if you would have reported it accurately, you would have filed this report. Today in Charlottesville, Virginia, four groups, right? I won't even cite the fifth group, right? Four groups showed up to confront each other. Peaceful protesters on both sides of the issues formed the majority of the people that showed up in Charlottesville today. However, there were members of an alt-right group and there were members of Antifa who had been baiting each other for weeks and came to Charlottesville armed and ready to fight. And it was that fight that you saw on TV. It wasn't peaceful protesters. And in the context of that, then the president makes his remarks, he would say, oh yeah, that's right. But that wasn't the narrative. And then he's a racist. Now, let me tell you, the go back to where you came from, that dance is near the edge for me. Right? That dance is near the edge for me. And what, three of the four are born in the United States? So get your information straight, dumbass. But I did not finish listening to the Merle Haggard tune. I will. It's still sitting here on one of my tabs in my browser. So I will do that. But again, it's what we talk about here, this thing that we have in the United States about, journalism. And it's Alex Holland. I thought, if you haven't listened, Alex Holland does a piece, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, a month ago, on that clickbait's a requirement in journalism. Because you have to have enough clicks. And so there's got to be a mix of clickbait content on your website to survive financially. So whether we like it or not, that is, for instance, go ahead and Google Liz Hurley bikini. Okay, Liz, H-U-R, don't ask me how I know this, but I do know this. Liz Hurley bikini, and then now click on news. Don't go to images, click on news. Right? People.com, Fox News, Yahoo News, The Mirror in the UK. The Daily Star. The Daily News. The Daily Mail. The Morning Bulletin. AOL. Women's Health. Page Six. So, you have all these organizations that use these stories, right, on a daily basis to drive traffic, but the problem is when the news reporting is more reflective of clickbait than it is of what I think our need in order to have articulate discourse, which is for accurate reporting. And so reporting now all revolves around your perspective. And that's wrong as wrong could be. All right. In the 9 o'clock hour, instead of Jim Mattis today, he will be on the program tomorrow. And you'll hear that interview. that runs about, I don't know, a little bit over an hour. Him talking about his thoughts on discipline. So, yeah, I can't wait for everybody to hear that. He's good. He's smart, right? But you know what? What's interesting about General Mattis, Secretary Mattis, however you choose to refer to him, is his career is a pretty normal Marine Corps career until he reaches the rank of Lieutenant Colonel, and then it skews. I mean, he's a rifle platoon commander, weapons platoon, blah, 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 blah. Then he comes back and does his company command. Then, obviously, he's a high performer, so he goes to recruiting command, which is where most of my friends went after they, you know, were successful company commanders. The next step on their path to become battalion commanders was go command a recruiting station, right? Paul Kennedy, Tim Lynch, Dave Furness, Jeff Kenny, all those guys. And that's one of the litmus tests of can you do it in the Marine Corps? Can you go out there and make mission on a monthly basis as a leader and do something other than be an infantryman? And which gives the Marine Corps some indication of your value to the service. So so General Mattis's career is very typical up to that point, and then he commands 1st Battalion, 7th Marines during Operation Desert Storm as the Point Battalion of Task Force Ripper, which was the 7th RCT 7. And then he comes back and commands the 7th Marine Regiment, and then in peacetime, and then he becomes a Brigadier General and commands Task Force 58 in Afghanistan, first Marine to ever command a naval task force. And then after that, obviously CG's 1st Marine Division, the march up, and then back in 2004 when I worked for him. So, and then it gets right from there. He goes to the MAF, and then he goes to Commander NATO Transition and Commander Joint Forces, American Joint Forces, and then he goes to CENTCOM, then he becomes SECTA. So, yeah, did all right. That's not a bad run. So, anyway, so we'll talk about all that this morning. You know, the Marine Corps coming off 38 amphibs is a big deal. Is a big deal. So, well, there was one other story. But the Bernie Sanders thing, come on. $15 now, you are the blah, blah, blah. Oh, we got to pay it too? Shit. What's that mean to us? We got to cut people's hours. Oh, so we can't do business like that? Oh, shit. Who saw that coming? I didn't. Yeah, come on. It's like dumb guy stuff. All right. United States Marine Corps band makes Monday, the 22nd day of July, official. Oh, I have to tell you about guarding a parking lot yesterday. All right. So, last week, my ex-wife's birthday. And then on Saturday was Catherine's birthday, my oldest daughter. Catherine turned 26, so happy birthday to her again. And so I was talking to them, and after a busy week last week, I was wiped out on Saturday, and I thought that I was just going to hang out. And then I get a phone call, hey, do you want to go to the Lion King with us? And I was like, shit. I really didn't, but I knew I had to. So you can't decline that one. So the four of us all go to the movie. Now, I'm ridiculed because I'll fall asleep in the movie, right? The lights go down. So, but I mean, come on, that's what I do. So anyway, we're driving to the movie and Colleen's driving. We get in the parking garage. She misses the pole by at least 4 inches, right? And so she gets annihilated for that. And so we go to the movie. After the movie, they wanted ice cream, so they get ice cream. We're sitting around talking, and then my ex-wife looks at me. She says, "Hey, do you want to volunteer tomorrow?" I was like, "Huh?" She said, yep, we're raising money for Colleen's water polo team. We're doing parking lots at the Orange County Fair. Now, how much fun does that sound like? None, right? And so, what's the appropriate response? Sure. So, I get dressed, and I put my, you know, running shoes on, my running shorts, throw a tank top on, put my hat on, grab my sunglasses, grab a camp stool, yeah, and some water, because you're going to be standing on asphalt from 10 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon. So I do it. So my daughter's there, Mike's wife, and then a couple of my daughter's friends. We're all standing at a gate, making sure nobody comes in it. Why we needed five people, I'm not sure, but we did. But one person has to take charge of that post and all government property within sight or hearing. That was me. Now, I'm also not that far removed from the life that I should have lived, which was as a Marine Lance Corporal. First general order is, right, to walk my post from flank to flank and fuck with everybody no matter the rank. That is what I did yesterday. I fucked with everybody that came anywhere near that gate. Right? You walking through the parking lot with a Dodger hat on? I'm like, yo, what's up, man? It's Angel Country. Right? Wear Angel hat or Yankee hat? Guy looks at me and goes, Yankees? I'm like, hey, let's not get personal. Let's not get personal. And my daughter's like, Dad, are you kidding me? Right? And so then I walk out in the middle of the street, right? I'd stop traffic and I'd wave people across. And Colleen is laughing. She's like, what are... I'm like, I'm in charge. She goes, Dad, you're supposed to be standing at the gate, making sure that people don't come in there and go down there. I'm like, that's just the minimum mission. There's a whole implied set of missions here. Traffic control on the public street is one of them. I'm like, what am I going to do? Let that family with the stroller, like, maybe cross someplace unsafe? He's like, oh my God. So they started fucking with the cops, because the cops had a post, like a trailer set up back in the back end of our parking lot. So they would, the motorcycle guys would come in. And so I started fucking with the cops. And they loved it, right? So, yeah. Yeah, 4.5 hours parking lot duty, Lance Corporal McNamara. So anyway, on the heels of that, good morning to you on a Monday. We'll check headlines for coming up. And this is dedicated to all the people I screwed with yesterday. I'm just messing with you, man. Don't take it seriously. All right? That doesn't kill you makes you stronger, okay? So that kind of harassment made you a better human being. And there were little kids, right? There were little kids that were going to perform. These two little guys in their cowboy suits going to perform. It was awesome. Like their dad, they get out of the truck. They go walking, they got the cowboy hats on, their vests on, their matching shirts, their jeans, their boots, their chaps. And, I mean, come on, they're probably like 7 or 8 years old in some little group or whatever. So you see all kinds of cool stuff. But yeah, you know what? I have to tell you though, the fair in the middle of the day, that's a losing proposition, man. And it was a beautiful day yesterday and a bit of a breeze, but still, in the midst of all that asphalt and concrete, come on, man. Go in the evening. Be a human. Be a human being. All right, so this is dedicated to all the people that I screwed with yesterday. I hope you feel better about yourself today.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather in Marineland today. Currently, it is 90 degrees and sunny in Quantico, Virginia. I mean, it's going to be hot there, huh? Yeah, could be hot there. It is sunny 91 at Camp Lejeune, so that means it's going to be hot there, too. Marine Corps Base, 29 Palms, cloudy at 91. Okay, when it's cloudy at 91, that's no bueno, man. Camp Pendleton's even warm. Clouds in 69 degrees, which is atypically warm. Honolulu and Camp Smith are warmer. Dark cloudy in 80 on the Hawaii, in the Hawaiian Islands. It is dark cloudy in 81 at the home of the 3rd Marine Division on Okinawa. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, where combat operations are going on against ISIS again, it is 106 degrees. But it's a dry 106, so don't worry about that. In Afghanistan, it is early in the evening, dark, clear, and 99 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 68 degrees. Looking for a high today of 80. 85 tomorrow. And Wednesday, my number two son's coming home to see us for a few days. Patrick! Yeah, boom! Oh my God, you think the Pope was coming? Ugh, you wouldn't believe it. Mostly sunny in 86 on Wednesday. That is look at your weather. We'll take a very short break. We'll come back. And we'll check some news headlines. A lot of interesting news. From Iran claiming to capture American spies, and some will be executed. Those poor bastards, whoever they are, got caught for whatever they got caught for. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the commandants. General Berger sheds the 38 amphibious platform requirement in his quest to modernize the Marine Corps. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other news. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. And then, at about 9:05 Pacific time, I'm going to do this thing that I'm going to call the four, which means four people I bring on the program. And they're each going to be on for about 20 minutes. So, we'll go past 10 o'clock Pacific time. So, it'll start with Bob Nielsen. And the question is, how do you explain that we lose, many units lose more people when they come home to suicide than we do in combat? How do you explain that? It'll go Bob Nielsen, Tim Lynch, Alex Hollings, and then Ken Rogers. So two Vietnam guys, a more recent guy, and Tim Lynch kind of in the middle of them. So don't touch that dial. Interesting stuff. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. And General Mattis tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour. Yeah. So, I had to make some infrastructure adjustments so that nothing crashes tomorrow. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go.
Okay, so I want you to picture this. This is how cool I am, all right? This is how cool I say that kind of as a joke, but this is how cool my life is, okay? So Peyton stands up to talk about how much post-traumatic winning has changed her life, right? And then she sings this song. Like, how good is your day going to be from there on? Answer, it's going to be awesome. And I'm telling you, every one of you can do it, man. You just got to keep your ears open and look at somebody and say, hey, man, can I talk to you? Anyway, we'll have to get Peyton on this week and so she can talk about her experience, which I think was pretty cool. All right, let's see. Some headlines. Stars and Stripes, top headline. Fighter prototype and pilot optional aircraft draw crowds at British Air Show. Just know this, right? When you don't have a pilot in that thing, it's way cheaper. Okay? So that's going on. So we're going to have drone wars coming up. That's right. The search in the North Arabian Sea has been called off for a missing petty officer second class. Slayton Saldana was called off after extensive attempts to locate the sailor, both involving ships and aircraft. Now, I have to tell you, the last two times they did this, the sailor turned up on the ship. So keep our fingers crossed that that is the case. And maybe he turns up and it's the issue with something else. Next headline, ISIS militants return to Iraq to continue the fight. We'll talk about that in a minute here. So that's Stars and Stripes, U.S. Naval Institute news. Headline, new Commandant Berger sheds 38 ship amphib requirement in quest to modernize the Marine Corps for a high-end fight. That's a big deal. That's been part of the Marine Corps portfolio forever, right? 38 amphibious warships would support two Marine Expeditionary Brigade size forcible entry units. Okay. So that has been part of the Marine Corps portfolio. The Navy, not so much. But here is his plan of guidance. We will no longer use 2.0 MEB requirement as the foundation for our arguments regarding amphibious shipbuilding. To determine the requisite capacity of vehicles or other capabilities, or as pertains to the maritime prepositioning force. We will no longer reference the 38 ship requirement memo from 2009 or the 2016 force structure assessment as the basis for our arguments and force structure justification, he wrote in his planning guidance. The ongoing 2019 force structure assessment will inform the amphibious requirements based upon this guidance. The global options for amphibs include many more options than simply LHA, LPH, LSD. I will work closely with the Secretary of Navy and the CNO to ensure that there are adequate numbers of the right types of ships with the right capabilities to meet requirements. He goes on to say that even more drastic changes could be on the horizon. I do not believe joint forcible entry options are irrelevant or an operational anachronism. However, we must acknowledge that different approaches are required given the proliferation of anti-access area denial threat capabilities in mutually contested spaces. Visions of a mass naval armada 9 nautical miles offshore in the South China Sea preparing to launch a landing force and swarms of advanced combat vehicles, LCUs and LCACs, are impractical and unreasonable. We must accept the realities created by the proliferation of precision long-range fires, mines, and other smart weapons, and seek... So when he says mines, he means smart mines, not dumb mines, not World War II mines with spikes on the side, even though they may still have spikes on the side. And other smart weapons, and seek innovative ways to overcome those threat capabilities. I encourage experimentation with lethal long-range unmanned systems capable of traveling 200 nautical miles, penetrating into the adversary enemy threat ring and crossing the shoreline, causing the adversary to allocate resources to eliminate the threat, create dilemmas, and further create opportunities for fleet maneuver. Nice. So anyway... He also noted that there isn't enough money to build gear optimized for desert use, Arctic use, jungle use, and so on. Instead, the Marines must focus on high-end contested maritime spaces as its North Star for fielding and developing new field technologies. Now, this has been a conversation for a long time that we're trying to do too much. Marine Corps is trying to do too much, right? Throughout the document and the article, this article is written by Megan Eckstein. I don't know Megan. The principal challenge facing the Marine Corps today lies in continuing to fulfill our role as the Naval Expeditionary Force in readiness while simultaneously modernizing the force in accordance with the National Defense Strategy and doing both within the fiscal resources provided. Adversary advances in long-range surveillance and fires make closer naval integration an imperative. Power projection has been a focal point for Marine forces for many years. Now we must learn to rapidly transition from a persistent naval forward presence posture to execution of sea denial or sea control mission. To meet these requirements, we must redesign our force. This is my top priority as Commandant. So, General Dave Berger, there you have it. So, stay tuned to that, man. The Marine Corps is going to change. Marine Corps time stories. Audio released over the weekend and video released of Iranian special forces, maybe, rappelling down onto British tankers, and the audio that went with that shows the Iranian aggression in the region, and we'll stand by to see what the Brits do with that. So, interesting stuff going on. We talked last week, but in case you missed it, the United States is putting additional assets and troops back into Saudi Arabia. And Iraqi forces launched anti-ISIS operation north of Baghdad. I said we'd talk about that. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that ISIS is not going away. This is an Associated Press story. Iraq's military said Saturday its troops, in partnership with security agencies and paramilitary forces, launched a second phase of an operation aimed at clearing remnants of the Islamic State from north of Baghdad and surrounding areas. Quote, this is the second phase of the operation called Will to Victory, which started 2 weeks earlier and targeted the area along the border with Syria. The military said the new target area is north of Baghdad in the Diyala, Salahuddin, and the Anbar provinces, of course. Although Iraq declared victory against ISIS in 2017, obviously the extremists have returned and returned and returned to continue out deadly attacks in the country. So anyway, so that going on. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, a Venezuela fighter jet aggressively shattered a U.S. reconnaissance aircraft operating in international airspace. And again, just as everybody knows, there's protocols to do this kind of stuff. Because it happens all the time. You send something to look at us, it flies in international waters, we send our fighters up to intercept it, there's a protocol that goes with it, you don't have to be up there acting like a jackass and putting people's lives in danger, but it's kind of a Russian thing to do that. So anyway, second story, hundreds of recruits got into the army without passing the mandatory physical fitness test. So this is back from 2017, so really who gives a shit? Number three, U.S. Navy flotilla encountered Iran in the Straits of Hormuz. This is the the amphibious ready group, actually, as they went through the Straits of Hormuz that shot down the Iranian drone. So that's in the Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal has been breaking a ton of news. Right, and were it not for the fact that it's $30 a month, I would cover some of it, but they charge a hefty price for the Wall Street Journal. So anyway, that in the news, so kind of a, gives you a blow by blow of the downing of the Iranian drone with new technology. So yeah, all it cost the Navy was a tank of gas. Turn on the sensors, jam the drone, and render it inert, and it falls into the water. Released Associated Press story, released audio reveals Iranian aggression in the Straits of Hormuz. The release Sunday of an audio recording has shed new light on the seizure of a British flag tanker at the hands of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. And, you know, I saw some analysis stuff over the weekend, which, and, you know, it's pretty spot on. Like, why? The only thing the Iranians are doing now are alienating the Europeans. It's one thing when they get after the President of the United States and the United States. It's another thing when the very people they're trying to influence to open up doors financially for them, now they're running them off. But you won't see them do anything to anything German. And I'd be surprised if they did anything to anything French. So, but anyway, the Brits, I guess. On a recording, a stern-voiced British naval officer insists that the UK-flagged oil tanker Stena Impero must be allowed to sail through the Straits of Hormuz, even as Iranian paramilitary forces demanded successfully that the vessel change its course. The audio shows how Britain's once mighty Royal Navy was unable to prevent the ship's seizure, which had been condemned by Britain and its European allies, as they continue to call, where's the EU? Oh, they don't have a military, that's right. Interesting. Have you seen the EU put out a major statement about this? Why not? The free flow of traffic through the Straits of Hormuz is of crucial importance to the world energy supply. In the recording, an Iranian officer can be heard telling the Stena Impero to change course, saying, you obey, you will be safe. After, alter your course 360 degrees immediately. Over? Huh? What does that mean? That means, like, go the same way I'm headed. A British naval officer from the Type 23 frigate Montrose, which was patrolling the area around the Straits of Hormuz, is heard telling the Stena Impero, which had a crew of 23 on board, that its passage must be allowed. Sir, I reiterate that you are conducting transit passage in a recognized international strait. Under international law, your passage must not be impaired, intruded, obstructed, or hampered, an unidentified British officer says. The British officer then tells an Iranian patrol boat, please confirm that you are not intending to violate international law by unlawfully attempting to board the MV Stena. The Iranians executed what they wanted to anyway. British officials said the Montrose was roughly 60 minutes from the scene when the Iranians took hold of the tanker, too far away to intervene effectively. This is what led to, back when I went over there, the escorting of reflagged Kuwaiti oil tankers, if you recall. So, that in the news. And number five, Pentagon scientists are making talking plasma laser balls for use as non-lethal weapons. What? Talking plasma laser balls? My God, Hollings is going to be all over this. Instead of beaming a flashing light or shouting over a loudspeaker to keep people away from sensitive areas, just in time for the Area 51 event, new technology being developed could allow troops to fire a laser that can form a plasma ball that talks to potential intruders. Are you kidding me? This would be so fun to have around. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, you can't. Come on, you can't make that up. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And when we come back, Bob Nielsen is going to join us. We're going to ask him. We're going to do a segment, a brand new segment called The Four. Four people come on, and I'll ask them the same question. You can hear them figure it out. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.